it's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we're all preparing to spend more time inside for the winter, and some people are working to revamp their spaces and homes. We'll talk with a licensed contractor about some projects and hear what you're doing. First, we're down to the wire in the race for president. Voting ends in just 5 days, and tens of millions of Americans have already cast their ballots. Yesterday's poll from Marquette University Law School shows in Wisconsin, former Vice President Joe Biden leading President Trump 48% to 43% among likely voters. The margin of error for each of those numbers is plus or minus 4.4%. So the state is getting a lot of attention from both campaigns. How about you? 800-642-1234 is our number. Which candidate, Biden or Trump, is the better choice? And why? How enthusiastic are you about your vote? Which issue is guiding your vote? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We've got two guests coming up to make their cases for Trump and Biden. We'll hear from the Biden supporter in just a bit. First, the case for the reelection of President Trump. Van Mobley is an associate professor of history and economics at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and president of the Ozaukee County Village of Thiensville. Van, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, Rob, thanks for having me.
Well, give us the basic case, Van. Why does President Trump deserve a second term?
Well, first of all, I would say he's got the momentum and he's closing rapidly on Biden, much as he did with Hillary. And I would just add another poll for your viewers to take a look at. There's a Trafalgar poll that was very accurate last time, but it was from 10/24 to 10/25. That is, the poll, it was actually polled a little after the Marquette poll. That poll is 47 to 48. Trump's 47 and Biden is 48. But you can see it's much closer than the Marquette poll. And I think really because the Marquette poll started polling before that third debate, Trump did very well, or the second debate, Trump did very well. And I think that accelerated his momentum forward, and he's got the momentum on his side. And I think it's a good thing because his vision is right in line with what the people of Wisconsin want. And it's the same thing he campaigned on last time. First of all, to avoid foreign wars and disentangle us from them and to rebuild the military, but not necessarily use it. You want peace through strength, and certainly he's done that. And peace is breaking out in the Middle East. He doesn't get the credit that he should have. And I would say that he compares very favorably on that with Joe Biden, who voted for the Iraq War. He says now it's bad judgment, but he has a lot of bad judgment throughout his career, and he very seldom picks the right thing. Trump's done the right thing on foreign policy and wars. Trump has also worked to rebuild our emaciated economy. He actually fixed NAFTA, something that Biden voted for. Once again, Biden thought it's a bad idea, but after he'd done it, and he never fixed it. Trump did do the USMCA, which is very much better than the old NAFTA. He did it on a bipartisan basis, and we're very thankful for that. And it's good for Wisconsin, particularly for the dairy industry and for some manufacturing. We have more deals to make in the next administration or the continuing Trump administration, particularly I think in the Asia Pacific region. And I know that I was speaking with some friends of mine from Japan about more things that we can do. I think that the Japan American axis is the most important alliance that we have right now in the world. And I think that Trump is very well positioned to cherish that relationship and then expand upon it going forward in ways that are good for both the people of Japan and the people of Wisconsin and the United States, as well as the people in the Asia Pacific region. We're going to have a little, maybe a little rough sledding with the Chinese, but I think that we'll be able to pull it together with our allies there. Trump has also cut taxes and deregulated the economy. We've got the best economy that we've had really post-World War II with low unemployment, and we've got wages at the bottom raising, coming up very fast. That was great. That's one of the things he said he would do, and that's what he was able to do. Now, we had the little COVID thing, but once again, if you take a look at the GDP numbers today, it's bouncing back fast, and Trump does this well, and Biden has been on the wrong side of history on some of these items that he's really voted in favor of as sort of a failed bipartisan consensus in Washington after the Cold War.
And then I want to jump in and talk about the little thing called COVID. That's been a line of attack from Democrats this year, of course, 227,000 dead from COVID, according to Johns Hopkins. Democrats pointing out Trump was on tape in January saying, hey, this is really bad, but I'm going to downplay it to the public. saying we're rounding the corner a lot while numbers go up is the argument. Can you make the case for Trump's handling of this crisis?
Yes, I can. I mean, the key to that is actually he has provided resources to the states and has given them and the localities flexibility. And he has really worked very hard on the warp speed. And just as you had a news report, I mean, they're going to get this vaccine out quickly now. Moderna's got a good thing, and he's really focused on that. Because really, as soon as they said it was a pandemic, that means, you know, everybody's going to get it unless we can get a vaccine, and we can't shut down and avoid that, or we have other sort of problems that emerge relatively quickly that we're seeing, you know, problems of depression, problems of suicide, domestic violence, problems of overlooking other medical things. So I think that he's done a very good job. And I think that we should keep things in perspective, and I think we're going to have a vaccine very quickly. One other thing that I would move to and as well that I think that you must be said is that Trump has worked hard at racial harmony in the United States by removing irritants that were placed there by earlier politicians like Joe Biden. And I'm speaking specifically of the Crime Bill of 94. That is Joe Biden's baby. The criminal justice reform that President Trump put through is actually a very good piece of legislation. It's signed on a bipartisan basis. I think that it will help with racial harmony. And President Trump has done other good things for the black community. He's given aid to historically black colleges, opportunity zones. He's done very well. He has shown leadership like we have not seen in Washington in a long time. Some people don't like his tweets. Some people think that he's mean to other politicians. Sometimes other politicians don't perform unless you're actually a little bit mean to them. If they're all nice to one another, you get bad things like the Iraq War, you get bad things like NAFTA, and you get bad things like the Crime Bill of 94, which Joe Biden did for us while he was backstabbing with all his establishment friends in Washington. We do not need any more of that, and I don't think that we're going to get it because Trump's going to win.
Talking to Van Mobley, he's making the case for President Trump's reelection. He's an associate professor of history and economics at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Wrote an opinion piece at wisopinion.com making that case. Let's bring on a caller or two. Ben is with us in Madison. Ben, hi.
Good afternoon. I feel really bad for your guest because he has to defend the indefensible. For people listening who do not go and research these issues, who do not dig up facts, who do not follow accurate news, he may sound very convincing. He skipped over COVID very nicely. The fact is this country has an obscene rate of COVID cases, a disastrous federal non-response, and no guidance, no strong PR, no strong communication. That's why we have people in Wisconsin and all across the country thinking masks are optional and this is my freedom and I don't need to wear this. And people are dying every day as a direct result of President Trump. This is indefensible. I feel sorry for your guest.
Ben, thanks for the call. Van?
I think people are dying because it's a virus. It's very unfortunate. I would also say that we should keep this in perspective. We've taken care of people on a local level. The virus will spread, and until we get a vaccine, remembering also that there are lives impacted by whether or not we have draconian lockdowns. And I, for one, am not for draconian lockdowns. Neither is President Trump.
How about, as Ben was saying, a consistent message on mask wearing, which a lot of public health officials say, hey, that helps us not do things like have lockdowns.
I think that the virus spreads whether you have mask wearing or not. And I think that we've had generally consistent messaging on that, which is you should wear them when it's appropriate.
And Van, we just have a minute left with you. Leave us with a final case as for those who haven't voted yet. A lot of people have in the run up to Tuesday.
Well, I think that actually what you're going to see is Trump's going to hold his own in those areas that he was very strong last time. I think he's going to show even greater strength in Milwaukee than he did last time. I think the law and order message has worked very well for him in Kenosha, and that's one of the things that's going to bring him the Kenosha-Racine area stronger for him. And I think he's going to get votes out of Dane County where people are a little bit tired with the draconian lockdowns that they have going on over in Dane County. There's a little bit of overreaction there, and that also increases the frustration level that actually makes a pandemic worse than it otherwise would be. Sometimes it's better to have a little bit of a looser approach, a more humane approach, and that's certainly what Trump stands for, and I think that he'll be rewarded for it at the polls.
Van, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. Talk to you later.
Van Mobley is an associate professor of history and economics at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and president of the Village of Thiensville. We talked to him about his support for President Trump. Coming up, we'll hear the case for former Vice President Joe Biden. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Who are you voting for and why? What issue is most important to you? Are you enthusiastic or taking the best you got? Call 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about which presidential candidate is a better choice for Wisconsin. We just heard from a supporter of President Trump. Now we'll hear a case for former Vice President Joe Biden. Earlier this month, the Wisconsin State Journal endorsed Biden, saying he'll restore a sense of higher purpose and professionalism to the White House. Who are you hoping wins and why? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Scott Milford is the editorial page editor of the Wisconsin State Journal. Scott, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks a lot.
Well, tell us about why you and the editorial board supported Biden over Trump for president.
Well, for starters, I think we're exhausted by Trump. Every day, it seems like there's a new scandal. There's another outlandish statement or an impulsive tweet. Somebody else is bailing out of his administration and writing a book saying he's not a good leader or he was awful. Trump is chaotic. He's combative. He's polarizing. He's unprofessional. He's crude. He's contradictory. He is entertaining, and he gets good ratings as a former reality TV star. He's certainly a character, but I don't think he's shown a lot of character. I think he's just kind of been winging the presidency, and specifically with Wisconsin, I think his trade wars have hurt manufacturers and farmers here a lot. I mean, he called for a boycott of Harley Davidson, which is an iconic brand. Now, to be honest, Joe Biden wasn't the preferred choice of our editorial board. It wasn't my preferred choice as an alternative, but I think just about anybody at this point is better than Trump, and Biden, besides being more presidential, I think he's solid. He's certainly experienced. He's been the vice president. He's been a U.S. senator for a long time. I think he will assemble a good team. He's already made hints that he would have some Republicans in his cabinet. He's friends with a lot of the U.S. senators who are Republicans because he's been there for quite some time. I don't think he's a socialist like Bernie Sanders. And we highlighted in our editorial a Lugar Center rating, which I really like this rating. And by the way, Richard Lugar was a very moderate Republican from Indiana. He actually got primaried out of his seat a while back. They looked at the last 250 senators over the last 250 years, and Biden ranked 47th, essentially in the top fifth of senators for working across the aisle, for sponsoring bills with members of the opposite party. I think he can get a lot done in the sensible center, where I like to say that I reside and the State General Editorial Board resides.
We heard from our last guest and from President Trump, and I think many of his supporters, that some of the things you just listed as assets for Joe Biden are liabilities, that people maybe don't want that person who's been in the establishment for a long time. That establishment, some people say, has steered us wrong at some key points in our recent history. What would you say to them?
Sure, you're right. But we tried the alternative with Donald Trump, an extreme alternative, and it hasn't worked. I mean, he was supposedly going to drain the swamp, and the swamp is 10 or 20 feet higher right now in Washington, D.C. Biden is a professional politician. I don't think Biden is the best the Democrats have to offer. But I think what's going on here is the Democrats pick someone who people know and who represents a return to some normalcy in Washington for a country. I think Biden's going to be a little boring. I could use some boredom after watching Mr. Trump for the last 4 years. And, just one example, this last week in Michigan, Trump goes up to Michigan. The governor there was a plot to kidnap her. And what does Trump say about this? Well, that might be a problem. It might not. I mean, I just don't know how you say things like that. Or at the debate, telling this racist group to stand by. I just think he's not a leader in the American tradition. And I'll take just about anybody over Donald Trump.
Talking to Scott Milford, editorial page editor for the Wisconsin State Journal, making the case for Joe Biden in next week's election final over Donald Trump. We just heard the case from Trump a few minutes ago, or a case for Trump, I should say. Let's go to a caller now, Jeff, with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi. Well, needless to say, I won't be subscribing to the Wisconsin State Journal. I think Biden is the most corrupt politician in the last 47 years when you look at what's been going on with him and his son. But I voted for Trump because he's a strong leader. We need Republicans defending the Constitution in Washington, D.C. right now. And he gets results. He's not a politician. He calls it like it is, and he gets things done for the American people. He puts money in the U.S. Treasury. He renegotiated treaties that have benefited every aspect of American life. And we need more four more years of him in Washington.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. Scott?
Well, first, let me be clear. I'm on the editorial board of the Wisconsin State Journal. I don't cover the news for the Wisconsin State Journal. I'm in charge of the institutional voice and the voice of the business side of the newspaper. So I would encourage the caller to subscribe to Madison.com for the best information and news in Madison. But going to the opinionated State Journal editorial board, is, you know, I agree to some degree with the caller that the China thing isn't good for Biden. I mean, his son was over there making a lot of money, and meanwhile, he's the U.S. representative in China. I don't think that looks good. I think at a minimum, it was bad judgment and probably a conflict of interest. But I mean, my gosh, when you compare that to Trump, who has a hotel across from the White House that people stay at and he profits from, or when you consider that he was trying to do a deal in Moscow for a giant hotel while he was running for president and lied about it. I mean, on and on and on, foreign bank accounts. I just don't think that when you compare the two, that there's even a comparison. Now, sure, I actually agree with the caller, too, that Trump has done some good things. I think that, for example, he simplified the tax code. Unfortunately, he didn't make it revenue neutral, so he jacked up the deficit. And I think that, you know, there's so many things that we need to do, like climate change, that he's ignoring. He's actually taking us backwards on climate change. I think he's not respecting our allies and instead schmoozing some of these people like Vladimir Putin, who for some reason he will never criticize. I don't get that. I think this is about restoring some decency and some real leadership to the White House. So I guess mostly I disagree with your caller.
Let's bring on another caller now. Jeffrey is with us in De Pere. Jeffrey, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I called a while back and made a comment about America's always been great. It's been great for 244 years. But needless to say, I voted Democrat. I have voted Democrat all my life as far as president's concerned, that I was allowed to vote since 18. I'm 65. But I don't agree with people. Donald Trump, he's erratic. He's irrational. He may be a businessman. He's a losing businessman. He's being run. He's doing good things, yes, but he's not a 47-year politician, which Joe Biden is, which is terrible in that respect also. But Mitch McConnell is running Donald Trump and a Supreme Court in choices. Jobs have been coming to northeastern Wisconsin since 1965. Joe Biden's son is not running for president. Nuclear energy is dangerous. Coal energy is bad for the environment. Wind and solar. Look at the other countries that utilize wind and solar.
I got you, Jeffrey. I want to jump in because we don't have too much time left. Scott, Jeffrey getting a variety of reasons there while he'll continue to vote for the Democrat this time around.
I think he represents a lot of people who, including myself, who I'm not gaga for Biden. And it's not that I think Biden is a superb candidate for president, but your caller there just ticked off some very real things that concern us about Trump. And I agree that with him that he's so erratic. He'll say one thing one day, he'll say something the other day. I guess that's sort of his quote unquote art of the deal when you're doing hotel casino deals in New Jersey. I guess that's what you do. You take people back and forth until you get them where you want and you cut a deal in your favor. But I don't think the last 4 years have shown much results for Donald Trump other than a lot of division and just one thing after another every day that people shake their heads at. People on both sides of the aisle shake their heads at.
As we wrap up, Scott, polls are generally showing Biden with a lead over Trump, but by no means an insurmountable lead. How are you reading? I want to ask you to predict, but how are you reading the polls as we head toward Tuesday?
Well, I of course think Biden's going to win. I don't know how you're ahead in all these polls in the swing state. I mean, I think the national polling you can set aside because Hillary Clinton won the national vote. I think you look at states like Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, states like that. And there's a whole bunch more that are swing states, too, like Arizona, Florida, Georgia and Texas. My goodness. Hey, I was wrong 4 years ago. The polls were wrong 4 years ago. Hopefully the polls have gotten better in 4 years. So I just can't imagine Biden doesn't win this. I think it was an interesting experiment to go against the grain with Donald Trump. I don't fault people for choosing Donald Trump. If Donald Trump wins, I will move forward and I will accept that. But gee, I sure do think that Joe Biden's the next president of the United States.
Scott, thanks for joining us.
You bet.
Scott Milford is the editorial page editor for the Wisconsin State Journal. We talked to him about why he says Joe Biden is the better choice for president. Earlier we heard from Concordia University, Wisconsin professor Van Mobley about his support for President Trump. Latest Marquette University Law School poll shows Biden leading Trump in Wisconsin 48-43% among likely voters, basically within the poll's margin of error. Coming up after the news, the pandemic has been a good time to tackle home improvement projects. We'll get advice and maybe answers to your questions. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow at 6 on the morning show, get ready for a Wisconsin weekend with a look at unique legends and folklore from around the state. That's tomorrow morning at 6 here on the Ideas Network. Now, there's a good chance we're going to spend a lot of time around our homes this winter, and that has a lot of people finding ways to improve the space we're spending so much time in. People have been headed to their nearest home improvement stores, online shopping for decor, and trying to create spaces that feel comfortable to be in. Online retailer Etsy has seen sales for their home category up by 128% compared to last year at this time, including stuff like furniture and wall art. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you taken on some sort of home or apartment improvement project, big or small, in recent months? Have you done something like rearranging or hanging new art or shelves on your walls? What motivated you? Did it make you feel better about it all? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Brittany Bailey is a home improvement expert. She runs the blog Pretty Handy Girl and is a licensed general contractor, artist, graphic designer, web designer, photographer, and likes to get stuff done herself. Brittany, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm getting a little tired of talking to my family, so it's nice to talk to someone else.
Excellent. I'm glad. If nothing else, I'm helping keep people, you know, connected with some different people to talk to. That's fantastic. Well, we talked to you a few months ago, and clearly there's a lot of interest out there in do-it-yourself projects around the house. You get questions from people a lot. Do you get the feeling that, yeah, we're still at this? There's this greater than usual attention to fixing up around the home?
Oh my gosh, more so than ever, because I think we're tired of looking at the same four walls. We're not leaving our homes as much. So yeah, I agree. There's definitely an uptick in people being interested and want to do something on their house.
What kind of questions are you getting lately? What are the things that seem to have people most interested?
You know, I kind of get, I get a lot of questions. Most of them are usually comments on existing tutorials that I have. But I think one of the ones that I'm seeing, at least I'm seeing a lot more traffic on one of the tutorials I have, is on painting, interior painting and painting doors and updating your doors. I don't know why, but that just seems to be popular right now.
Well, that's a great place to start then. Give some advice for people thinking, okay, I may not be super handy, but painting sounds like a job I can tackle. Talk about some of the basics for the first time painter wanting to refresh their walls or, as you say, their doors.
Sure. So I think the number one thing that I learned the first time that I painted was you really should invest in good quality paint. Because if you don't, you're not going to have a nice, smooth, even finish. The first time my husband and I painted a room, we ended up having all these stripes. And I thought it was user error, and it actually wasn't. It was actually really poor quality paint. So number one thing is just get some, you know, go ahead and spend a little extra, get some really good quality paint. And then, you know, get yourself a roller and maybe an edger. That really will make things go a lot quicker because you won't have to tape off as much.
Now, when do we need, with a door, something like that, something wooden, what kind of advanced work, what kind of prep do we need to do before we paint? When do we need to, you know, sand off or remove previous paint?
You really don't need to do too much prep work unless somebody, you know, hopefully not yourself, but has painted and, you know, there's a lot of drips. In that case, you do want to use either sanded or sometimes you almost have to use a little razor blade to scrape off some of those drip marks and then just sand it lightly. I do recommend, like I say sand, but I'm honestly just really quick roughing up the paint so that it'll accept the new paint. You do need to make sure that if you're painting latex paint on top of another paint, that what you're painting on top of is also latex. And there's a really simple way to check that. All you have to do is use isopropyl alcohol, dip a Q-tip in it, and then rub it on the paint. If it comes off, it is latex, and you can go ahead and paint on top of it with latex. If not, you're going to need a prime on top of it before using latex paint.
Before we move on to paint, you mentioned getting good quality stuff. How do I know if my paint is good quality? Does it just cost more?
Yeah, it's expensive. You know, I really do like to stick with the name brands that painters use, you know, like standalone paint stores like Sherwin-Williams or Benjamin Moore or PPG. Those, and then I always talk to the guy that's work or woman that's working there, and I'll just say, hey, this is what I'm using this for. What do you recommend it would last the longest?
Talking to Brittany Bailey, home improvement expert. You can find her blog, Pretty Handy Girl, with lots of advice, videos, answers to people's questions there. And you can join in at 800-642-1234 as we talk about home renovation, home improvement projects, big or small. What have you worked on lately? What's on the horizon? Are you working on something right now while you're listening? Or do you have a question, a how-to kind of question for Brittany? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What other kind of things give us a lot of benefit for maybe a little effort in taking that space we're spending so much time in and just making it look or function a little better?
Sure. So in terms of looks, there's been so much improvement in wallpaper. I don't know if you've seen it, but they have wallpaper that's removable now. So, you know, even if you're renting, you can go ahead and make remake your space, make a lot of put a lot of impact in one area. Whether you just do one wall as a feature wall, go ahead and put up some of that wallpaper. It's just like a giant, you know, low adhesive sticker. So if you are renting, you can go ahead and remove it. The other thing that's really popular and really trending right now is adding molding to your wall. And it's, I've seen some amazing geographic patterns that are being put on walls, they're putting put on doors. And it's just using some simple little thin molding. And it's and then you paint it and it looks amazing.
Now, there are products on the market, I understand, right now, specifically designed to make home improvement stuff easy. You know, kits, stick-on tiles, things like that. Are a lot of those good to use, or is it worth, I guess, doing a little more hard work and doing it right, if there's a righter way? Which way do you go on that?
So I have had a little bit of experience with some of these like easy kits, and I usually found that they didn't last as long. Now, that's not to say that there aren't some that I haven't tried, but I know specifically with the stick-on tiles, You definitely do not want to use that in an area that is like directly in contact with water. You could definitely use it for your backsplash in the kitchen. But I found that the adhesive just kind of let go over a couple years. So I'm more of the traditionalist where I would say, go ahead and learn how to tile yourself using thinset and grout. And it's actually not that hard. It's almost like if you're familiar with frosting a cake, it's not much harder than frosting a cake.
Uh-oh. I'm not very good at frosting cakes either. Hey, let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Colin is with us in Viroqua. Colin, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I actually did something really crazy. I took an old grain bin and I moved it from Lansing, Iowa. I disassembled it and reassembled it in my home and made it an actual living, lovely living space. With
a grain bin?
Warm. Yes, it's amazing.
That sounds super cool, Colin. I love it. That reminds me of a video I saw on your website, Brittany, where you took you like to find old ladders and turn them into shelves. It's that similar sort of repurposing old stuff.
Oh, yeah. I don't like to spend a lot of money on furniture. So if I can find something secondhand, cheap, you know, at the thrift shop or even by the side of the road, I will slap some paint on that, put some shelves and make it work for me.
Thanks a lot for that call. I love it. The green bin room. We're talking to Brittany Bailey. She runs the blog Pretty Handy Girl and is a licensed general contractor. We're talking about making some changes, big or small, to your home or apartment. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this something you're doing or have done recently? Or is there a project you want to do, but maybe find a little intimidating? Our guest might have some advice and steps for you to take. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with licensed general contractor and blogger Brittany Bailey. Her blog is called prettyhandygirl.com. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us if you are changing your surroundings at home in one way or another, or if you need some advice to help do so. Let's go back to our callers now. Jake is with us in Stevens Point. Jake, hi.
Yeah, I'd like to offer up sort of two suggestions. First is Facebook Marketplace is an absolutely amazing place to find everything from cabinetry to lumber and so forth. Second is my wife and I are kind of nuts remodelers, but finding your local sawyer. So if you go on to Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace and type in lumber, a lot of times you can find somebody who has a small sawmill and you can get slabs of lumber for pretty darn cheap. I follow lumber prices because I'm in the construction industry, and to buy a 2x4 now is about 500% more than it was, say, 2 years ago. And sometimes you can find something that maybe came out of your backyard or your neighbor's backyard and turn into a shelf or a backsplash or whatever else.
Pretty cool, Jake. Thanks for the call. Brittany, I'm assuming you'd be on board with finding those bargains.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I can totally relate. Lumber prices are insane. Mm-hmm. And that's a great tip. I actually have found people locally who do sell slabs. In fact, I just purchased one and created my own standing desk. I just bought the frame and then put the slab on top, and I saved a ton of money doing it.
Pretty cool. Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Don now in Iron River. Don, hi.
Hello, good afternoon. Say, because of the virus, and I've been on self-imposed exile, and no company's going to come in my cabin, I've stopped cleaning. I'm doing the complete opposite. No projects.
Nothing? Now, so Don, let me ask you, though. I mean, kind of the idea, I think, for a lot of people is, yeah, it's just me or just the family, but we're looking at the same four walls day after day. Does it make you sometimes want to freshen things up a little?
Well, I'm kind of a sloth when it comes to cleaning, so I spend a lot of time outdoors.
Oh, okay. So that mixes it up. Don, thanks a lot for the call. Brittany, Don's taking the opposite approach. He's saying, the heck with it. Nobody else is going to see it, so why change anything?
I kind of wish I lived by myself right now because, yeah, I'd like to give up on all the cleaning.
Give us a pep talk. I mean, eventually we're going to have people back in our houses, I assume. Give us a pep talk for maybe making some changes now while we've got this time at home, and it doesn't matter if there's a construction mess going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I've really focused a lot more time on is organization, really, you know, looking at areas where I can store things better. You know, say I have an old dresser that it's not really being used for, I don't know, for clothes, maybe I can store things like extra place settings in there. And one thing that's really fun to do with drawers specifically or cabinets is to redo the faces of them by either, again, back to that wallpaper, put wallpaper on it or paint it. Or a lot of people are using very thin veneer wood and putting patterns or just putting wood on the front faces of the drawers. And then even just adding new knobs or hardware to it will really elevate the look and give you something new to look at.
Now, I wanted to ask about one of the many project ideas on your site. You've got a lot of ideas and even videos showing how to do them. You've got floating shelves, and a lot of people want more shelving and don't always know where to put it. Talk about floating shelves and how we install them.
Yeah, sure. So floating shelves, the biggest thing with floating shelves is that they need to be anchored to something really strong, or they need to have a really strong support system. So yeah, there is a tutorial on my blog that I just built these floating shelves for a kitchen in a rental property that I just finished. But the biggest thing is making sure that you can secure it to studs in the wall. If you're lucky enough to have the wall open in the drywall, you know, taken down, go ahead and put some blocking in between the studs so that it's a lot easier to find solid wood to adhere it to. If you really can't find a stud, I recommend using really good quality anchors. I kind of like the screw-in kind, the toggler ones. Those seem to work pretty well, but, you know, pay attention to the weight limit on those anchors that you purchase.
You also share a very timely project, something that you were interested in already because you wear masks in your line of work. You found a great mask pattern that seems to fit better than a lot of the other options out there. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So at the beginning of the pandemic, I kind of put away my woodworking tools and pulled out my sewing machine. And I started making some of the patterns that people were recommending or that, you know, that I found, and I didn't like how any of them were fitting, especially because I'm used to really good fitting masks and respirators when I'm doing construction and demolition. So I designed my own cloth mask that was easy to make. It's adjustable. It has adjustable elastic either behind the ears or goes behind the head, and it has a nose clip in the nose area. So it really does close that area. Like that triangle between your nose and your cheeks.
And in our last minute or so, for those of us who basically just have all manner of thumbs and don't think we can pull off even the most basic projects, give us a little inspiration.
I think you should just go ahead and change knobs. Go ahead and, you know, in your kitchen, if you're tired of that, change out knobs. Those are the easiest thing. And even doorknobs are pretty easy to change. There is a tutorial on the blog for that too. It's like a 5-minute fix.
Brittany, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Brittany Bailey, who runs the blog Pretty Handy Girl, where she posts guides to all manner of projects. She's also a licensed general contractor. You can find her at prettyhandygirl.com. We've got links to her blog and some tutorials, lots of them. And by the way, you can tell us what you are up to, maybe even provide pictures. If you're doing some home improvement work, head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can also share advice, lessons learned, for better or worse, from your projects. Oh, and we've got a link to her blog and some tutorials like building a garden bed and trellis or swing set for grownups over at WPR.org/Central Time. For the third time in 5 years, the Milwaukee County District Attorney declined to charge Wauwatosa Police Officer Joseph Mensah for an on-duty fatal shooting. The decision brought protesters to the Milwaukee suburb. The city responded with curfews, the National Guard, and arrests and tear gas on several nights. Corrine Hess reports that some protesters and residents tied the aggressive response to a legacy of a racist history.
Eddie and Christy Cullen live on the north side of Milwaukee with their 10-month-old baby. They've been looking for a house for a while. Eddie's a Milwaukee County Board Supervisor, and moving to suburban Wauwatosa could help his political career. But there's something holding the Cullens back. Kristen Cullen is biracial. Eddie says she's been pulled over multiple times by Wauwatosa police while driving home from Mayfair Mall.
Having to potentially be worried about friends that we invite over to our house, you know, being discriminated against or pulled over more often when they come into the neighborhood. I mean, those are things that we've thought of. And, you know, I think it's a real issue.
Through the 1950s, the city had restrictive zoning, excluding non-whites from purchasing, owning, leasing, or occupying property. Today, Wauwatosa's roughly 47,000 residents are still about 90% white. Just over the suburb's eastern border, Milwaukee's about 45% white. Mayor Dennis McBride grew up in Wauwatosa and has lived there almost all of his 67 years. McBride is white. He acknowledges the city has had a troubling past.
The Wauwatosa I grew up in was a racist, almost totally white community. The Wauwatosa of today is not a racist community. Wauwatosa is a welcoming community. There are lots of nice people. We are facing a very difficult time here, but it's a place that people want to come.
Wauwatosa is one of Milwaukee County's most liberal-leaning suburbs. The 14th Assembly District on the city's east side was the only one to flip from Republican to Democrat in the 2018 election. But protesters accuse the city's police department of racial profiling, and they want to see Officer Menza, who's black, fired. Police Chief Barry Weber was brought in 30 years ago after several officers and lieutenants were discovered hosting racist parties and distributing anti-black flyers. Records show the involved officers kept their jobs, and some were even promoted. But McBride credits Weber with creating a department that better reflects the community.
Of all of the quadrants in the city, the police department is the most ethnically and racially diverse, and that is something that Chief Weber has accomplished.
Kimberly Motley represents the families of the three men killed by Menza. She says traffic stop data and her own experiences as a person of color show the diversity in the department isn't enough.
I have children that are teenagers. I have seen them profiled and stopped in Mayfair, right in front of me.
Carsonia Wise Whitehead teaches African American studies at Loyola University in Maryland. She says it's hard for a city to move past its racist history unless there's buy-in from everyone involved.
That they are all speaking the same language in terms of inclusion, in terms of diversity, that there's restorative justice that has been done for communities that have been harmed, and that there's a way that the residents are intentional about creating and maintaining this post-racial environment.
Wauwatosa is like thousands of other communities across the country grappling with the legacies of racist policies. And Keisha Ani believes it is ahead of plenty of communities in Milwaukee County. She and her family left Wauwatosa for another predominantly white suburb on Milwaukee's south side, but they only lasted 2 years there. Ani says they moved back to Wauwatosa in 2018 because her children were still in the school district and she felt more comfortable as a person of color living there.
I've gone into stores before on the south side and have gotten followed by like security, and they just automatically think that I'm in the store to like steal or do something wrong, and I've never had that issue ever in Wauwatosa.
Ani watched with her neighbors as Wauwatosa police squared off with protesters earlier this month. She didn't like the aggressive approach, but she thinks the response would have been the same, if not worse, in any other community. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, over 500 children haven't been reunited with their families after the border family separation policy. We'll get the latest news and find out about ongoing efforts to find their parents. A Wisconsin group that provides crisis prevention training shares advice on de-escalating conflicts at voting booths and in our daily lives. The economy saw positive news this week with a report showing a rebound of GDP numbers in the last quarter. We'll find out how much ground the country recovered and what challenges remain. And cooler weather is a great time to make a big old batch of chili. On this week's edition of Food Friday, we'll get advice and recipes for good old-fashioned chili and some interesting twists, too. You can get us started right now if you are a chili master or connoisseur. Beans? No beans. Meat? No meat. Beef? Other meat? Tell us how you like your chili. Email now, ideas@WPR.org. That's coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. It's time for a clock change this weekend. Daylight savings time officially comes to an end at 2 a.m. Sunday morning. You can be really literal and set your clocks back right at 2. Or you can do what most of us do and send them back either before you go to bed on Saturday night or after you wake up on Sunday morning. If you're scheduled to be a guest here on Central Time next week, please make extra sure to make the change. This is the one where the clocks move back, so we get an extra hour of sleep or whatever. But not everyone is happy about the change. As reported in various outlets and confirmed by Snopes.com, the Norwegian official in charge of implementing the time change apologized for making the year 2020 last an extra hour. Norway's Minister of Trade and Industry said in a statement, quote, "As Minister of Time, I strongly regret that 2020 will be another hour longer. This has already been a very demanding year for many," end quote. Of course, there really wasn't a decision to make, Norway, and many of us are pretty locked in to the time change. As part of that tongue-in-cheek apology, the minister said there is a bright side, again quoting, "When we set the clock back, the night gets an hour longer. That means when we get up on Sunday, the sun has managed to get a little further up above the horizon than at the same time the day before, and we get a brighter morning than we otherwise would have." Getting ready for Central Standard Time, this is Central Time.